Welcome to Farmscape Online. I'm Bruce Cochran. My guest is Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Sundberg.
I'm glad to be with you, Bruce. Thanks for the opportunity.
The Swine Health Information Center has released its monthly domestic and global swine disease surveillance report. First of all, what have we seen domestically?
Well, domestically, we're seeing a slight uptick in PERS infections in breeding herds. And, you know, Bruce, that's a good illustration of the dynamics of PERS and the infection and its transmissibility. When we have outbreaks on finishing floors of PERS or other viral diseases, and we had this experience back in the days of the pseudorabies eradication program, the infection on a finishing floor causes a viral cloud, if you will, an explosion of virus in the atmosphere. And that puts the breeding herds at heightened risk for infection. So we're seeing an uptick in the breeding herd infections with PERS right now. And we have been reporting the last couple of months that finishing floor infections have also been increasing. So it's kind of the egg follows the chicken on this one. And the breeding herd infections are probably not such a surprise that that's going on. As far as the coronavirus, enteric coronaviruses, the PED, Delta Corona, TG, transmissible gastroenteritis, and even the mycoplasma infections are all within what would be considered to be the upper and lower limits that we would be expected for right now based on history and the time of year it is. So there's nothing outstanding for the coronavirus, enteric coronavirus infections, nor for mycoplasma, nothing outstanding, at least out of the ordinary.
What strains of PERS are we seeing? You touched on it a bit. In what types of operations and where? And what is the significance of that distribution?
Well, the strain, the 144 line 1C strain is continuing to cause some infections, just starting in the upper Midwest. So that's going on. And that's a regional issue for the upper Midwest. 174 is also causing infections. And so we've got a variety of different strains that are moving around, causing infections locally, regionally, different ones in different areas, which isn't really unusual given the epidemiology of PERS. You'd expect that there would be regional strains that would be more prevalent within separate areas.
What does this suggest in terms of efforts to gain more control of PERS?
It's PERS time. It's the PERS season, and gaining control of PERS is all about biosecurity. All about paying attention to biosecurity 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the hardest thing to do. With PERS being spread by aerosol, that adds to the complexity of control if you get a viral cloud from a finishing floor headed toward an unprotected breeding herd or other finishing floors. So there can be some issues there that may be regional spread that are out of control if you don't have filtered air inputs into your farm, for example. But beyond that, that biosecurity for PERS is really one of the issues that continues to go on and needs to be enforced 24/7. The hardest thing to do is enforce it. We've started to look at and measure the risks from feed spread. That seems to be something that at least is a possibility, but it's probably low as far as the risk goes on a high, moderate, or low scale. It's probably a low spread, but it is something to pay attention to in addition to the foot traffic, the truck traffic, and all the other things that enter and exit the farms.
What about efforts to scale back or hopefully even consider eradication of PRRS overall?
Well, yeah, that's going to be an industry discussion. Certainly, PRRS is the disease that is causing the major production losses in the U.S. pork industry. There's no doubt about that. But there's also issues about control and being able to control the infections seasonally as well as regionally in order to lead to an eradication program. I think that's still probably a ways away, Bruce, until we have the political will to enforce an eradication program. There certainly is the production will of let's get rid of this disease, but I think there's an issue here of political will and trying to figure out the best way forward to see if we can mitigate the effects of PRRS that could eventually lead to eradication.
What have been the highlights internationally?
Well, internationally, of course, the highest topic is African swine fever. And African swine fever, for this last month, there are two things that have happened with ASF that are of note. One is that ASF has been found in a finishing floor in northwest Germany that is about 100 miles away from the area of the last infections within Germany. So it's an isolated outbreak about 100 miles away from where you would expect it to be. There's also an isolation that's been found in wild boar in that area. And so that's of concern that this is a new infection 100 miles away. Most probably that happened because of somebody transmitting it from one place to another. But I think the epidemiology of that is still out and certainly not confirmed yet. But we know from past history that ASF moving across wide areas of the country are most likely caused by people spread rather than by feral swine or other methods. The other thing that's happening with African swine fever right now is an increase in infections in Vietnam. ASF, the infections with ASF in Vietnam have increased significantly since the same time last year. And so there's a lot of efforts still going on in that country to try to control it and try to get on top of ASF infections and its spread. China continues to be at risk. It continues to try to work with negative herds and protect them. The overall herd size in China has decreased. It has gone through some liquidation. And part of that, it certainly could be economics. Part of it could very well be African swine fever and health. But we do know that there's some contraction and African swine fever continues to move in the country in herds that are challenged with biosecurity.
How may these changing dynamics affect pork supply and availability and where?
Well, the changing dynamics globally could affect pork supply such that the production losses that are due to African swine fever may affect the pork supply. And certainly that's probably in a regional or country specific issue. The pork supply in Vietnam, for example, has had to have had a decrease because of the increase in infections there. And that may be a trading opportunity for other countries to see within Vietnam. China is an interesting one with the amount of pork and the pork supply in the markets and effect on ASF as well as the economics that's going on in China. Right now, with the retraction of the size of the pig herd, there is a lot of meat going on the market in China, and that causes pressure on price because of all of the meat that is going into the marketplace. That causes pressure on their domestic price. It also causes issues with countries looking to import into China. So ASF is certainly a factor around the world that's going to affect world markets as we see it.
How has all of this affected priorities for North America?
You know, the priorities for North America continue, Bruce. I think all of this is a continuation of the global epidemic for African swine fever and its continued spread around the world. We know, as best we can at this point at least, the pathways of entry, the probable risks that we all are under in North America. And the primary effort here is how to mitigate those risks and make sure we do everything we can to close any of those open windows. The issues about national biosecurity, whether Canada, the U.S., or Mexico continue, that national biosecurity on the borders trying to keep ASF virus out of the countries should continue all the way to the farms, because the ability to keep ASF out of any country in North America is a state federal industry cooperative program, certainly for the U.S. it's states, for Canada it's provinces, but it's a cooperative program. And none of those three can ensure that we don't get ASF by themselves. So we have to all work together on this and do the best we can to keep that virus out of the country, as well as, should it slip through on the border, to keep that virus away from pigs that are in the countries, because if it does slip through, it doesn't cause infection if it doesn't reach a pig.
And is there anything you would like to add?
I think the important thing about the Global Disease Monitoring Report, Bruce, is that it continues to look at the risks around the world. ASF certainly isn't the only one. There is classical swine fever still in Japan. There's foot and mouth disease, of course, in the Mideast. There are other diseases of interest, and that Global Disease Monitoring Report is an important one to keep an eye on that. As far as the Domestic Disease Monitoring Report, that one has been renewed again. We have just recently signed a contract to renew and continue that Domestic Disease Monitoring Report. We're looking forward to enhancing both of those programs in 2022 and trying to make them even more usable in the future.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, Bruce. Thank you.
Our guest has been Dr. Paul Sundberg, the Executive Director of the Swine Health Information Center. For Farmscape Online, I'm Bruce Cochran.